Second Corinthians chapter 11. Now, Job did, I want this to go on the tape too. He did wave that thing in front of me because, you know, I've got control of this now. I can cut you off when I want to now. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Now, this is a familiar passage. I'm just going to read about three verses right in the middle there, 13, 14, and 15. I'll try to give a little background to this after I read it. Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, let me begin by saying, first of all, Paul here is talking about men who claimed to be the apostles of Christ and who boasted on their taking money from the Corinthian believers. That's what he's talking about. And Paul was basically, the context is, Paul says, "I took money from other places," and even terms it, and this is Paul's language, "I robbed other churches."
Yeah.
And that's the way he felt about it. Mm-hmm. "But I robbed other churches. I took wages of them to do you service. When I was with you, I wouldn't take anything from you." Mm-hmm. Now, Paul says these other men, they boast about how they, you know, partake of your physical things. And that's what he said. And look, it's verse 12, just to give you the context. "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we, for such are false apostles."
Yes, sir.
Paul said, nobody's going to stop me from this boasting. Now, sadly, and this is not even my message, but it is the context. Sadly, nowadays, pastors, preachers, elders, they're usually termed pastor or what's the next one down? You'd be an associate pastor or whatever you call it. They boast on what they get.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they can have a salary and a parsonage, it's not worth it to them, right? Now, the apostles did have, everything they had came from the church. Their whole ministry was based upon the support they received. And these pastors of today want to claim this authority, this place.
Yeah.
But, and as Earl, Joe, as you read that, I thought, how many of them want to go through, though, what Paul said,
yeah,
apostles go through?
Yeah.
Being hungry, being naked, having no certain dwelling place.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, nowadays they got to have a salary and a car and the parsonage and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And you rarely ever hear of a man preaching in a place and going to some place smaller, having to maybe take on a job to help out, or maybe having to work all the time. Rarely ever hear that happening. When so-called preachers or pastors change or move, what do? They always move where? Monetarily, what do? Up. They always go up. And it's always, "The Lord opened the door." Ain't it now?
Yeah,
yeah, and close the other. Well, he never opens one to a smaller place with less green pastures, you know? And of course, for them, this is vindication of their works, their righteousness, right? Of course, the scripture says, and I'm putting it in my own way, but because God doesn't punish men right off the bat, their hearts are continually set to do evil. You know, and God doesn't do even us that way. It's not you just begin to reach for the wrong thing and God pops you. You know, sometimes he lets you get a hold of it.
Yeah.
And of course, as far as the reprobate's concerned, he lets them swallow it up.
Yes, sir.
They often use these things as vindication for themselves. But what I want to try to begin to talk about is false doctrine. Now, that's a broad subject, I understand. It's a broad subject, but where you have false apostles. Now remember, these were false apostles.
Yeah.
Some render it as super apostles. I mean, these were what you call your really charismatic men. People that could that could speak eloquently and could get a following. You know, they knew how to move people. Yeah. They knew how to get people to do what they wanted them to do. These were super apostles. But false apostle is still not a bad interpretation, because that's what they are.
Yeah.
It's proved by their characteristics as what? Deceitful workers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Whose end shall be according to their works. Now, I know some folks are looking for that.
Yeah.
They're hoping that this good work will outweigh the bad work. But if you got one bad work, you're damned.
Exactly.
If that's what you're standing before God on.
Yes, sir.
Just one bad work. But, you know, where you have false apostles, or where you have false prophets, or where you have false teachers, you always have false doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't think anyone hears like this, but I say this to warn us all. Let us not be like the fella, and I've mentioned it to you before, but let's not be like the fella I used to work with, who told me, he said, well, doctrine is the devil's handiwork. And I'm thinking, I didn't tell him. Well, I didn't want to start a fist fight or something, but I didn't tell him. I thought, you know, you are dumber than a sled rail.
That's exactly it.
I mean, that's not ignorance, folks. That's stupidity.
Yes, sir.
When this man goes to church, or went to church every Sunday evening, and every Wednesday, and still doesn't know any better than to say doctrine is the devil's handiwork? But there is false doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Now, false doctrine is no new phenomenon. It's not something new. The first known false doctrine was Lucifer's self-deception.
Yes, sir.
It was a false doctrine.
Right.
Lucifer said, I can be like God. Now, false doctrine can come from within. We often think of false doctrine starting out here, and it can happen that way, but Lucifer's self-deception, or Lucifer's false doctrine, started with a self-deception.
Yeah.
He said, I will ascend into heaven, and I'll sit where the Most High sits. Now, I know some people don't believe that passage teaches that, but they're just wrong.
Yeah.
So this first known false doctrine was Lucifer's self-deception. The second one, that is the second known one,
yeah.
Well, that's all we can deal with is what's known. What's unknown is nothing more than conjecture. The second false doctrine is akin to the first. And Satan was the instigator of this false doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Slightly different, but similar. It was akin to it. The second false doctrine was that man and woman could become gods.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he told them?
Yes, sir.
You eat of that fruit. You know, he said, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat. God, here's real light, Satan says.
Yeah.
God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what he says?
Mm-hmm.
Now, all false doctrine has one common denominator. This may not be the best way to state this, but it's the only way I could come up with after working with it a little. But this all false doctrine has one common denominator. It ascribes to God, or to creation, that which God in Scripture does not ascribe.
Yeah.
That's a false doctrine. It doesn't matter what it is. Some false doctrines are more dangerous than others. Okay? Some are more dangerous than others, but I'm not here to try to figure out what's the, you know, it's not a matter of one's more dangerous than others, so it's all right if I have the lesser ones, you know. The problem is with false doctrine, which often causes false conduct, is even as the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians in his first letter, a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Amen.
And once you begin to go away from Scripture, and you then ascribe to God or to creation, that's something which God does not ascribe to it in Scripture. Once you swallow one thing, then you're more prone to swallow anything else.
Yeah.
Now, false doctrine started with the creature, and it resulted in two falls. It resulted in the angelic fall. There was a host of angels that fell with Satan.
Yes, sir.
And according to Jude, I think it is, they are reserved in chains of darkness. These fallen angels, these demons, that's what they're then called in Scripture. These fallen angels have no hope. And they're going to perish in the lake of fire just like rebellious mankind will. These are creatures who evidently will be able to, who can suffer torment.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, our Lord Jesus Christ met what men call the demoniac, filled with this legion of demons. And they said, "Are you come to torment us before our time?" As a matter of fact, they even said, "We know who you are." They know more than most folk. Another calls an angelic fall. It also calls the fall of the human race. Now, the human race didn't fall because of false doctrine. The human race fell because Adam, the federal head of the human race, sinned against God, and we fail in him.
Amen.
But nevertheless, that's, you know, the false doctrine was what Satan used to instigate this fall. All false doctrine flows from fallen creation. And in effect, it says, this is what false doctrine says, we know better than God. And all false doctrine essentially says, if you adhere to it, if you believe it, if you take it in and you adhere to that false doctrine, you are saying, I would be saying, any of us would be saying, I know better than God.
Yeah.
Now God tells us, God has given us his word. He's given us the Holy Scripture, and it is profitable for all of life.
Yes, sir.
Right? It's profitable for edification and building up. It's profitable for warning us. It's profitable for every part of life. Scripture is to us. It is the key to all faith and practice. And I don't mean practice for our religion. I mean practice for everything.
Yeah.
Our whole life. As a matter of fact, if you can actually separate your religion from your life, you don't have true religion. You got false religion.
Pretty much.
You know, it's just like, I know men do this because that's the way it's done.
Yeah.
But you know, you have politicians. Well, I separate my religion from my politics. Well, I couldn't do it. So that's my problem. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I would be unelectable.
Yeah.
Because I hold to the gospel of free and reigning grace.
Amen.
And the majority would not vote for it. It wouldn't even be close enough for the Supreme Court to have a vote on mine. I mean, there wouldn't be no doubt as to who the majority of people wanted. And the same thing would go for you as well. I'm not bragging about me. It'd go for you as well. Because, see, you cannot separate what you believe from who you are and how you live.
Exactly.
If you can, you're a hypocrite.
Yep.
I mean, a bona fide hypocrite. Granted, we all are hypocritical in some things. You know, when we sin against God, we often seek to justify it somehow. Rather than just saying, I know it's wrong. It's a sin. I sinned against God. We try to justify it. We try to give. Well, this is probably one of the prime examples of the exception to the rule. Me. Right? We always try to think we're the exception to the rule. Rather than saying, I'm wrong. I've sinned against God. Now I need to work to get that thing out of my life. I know false religion. This so-called Christian religion says about this very subject, say the believer and sinning against God, well, just put it away right now. But there are some things you can't just automatically get rid of.
Yeah.
You know that? And I'm not going into detail on everything because things vary. I cannot give a list.
Yeah.
Here's the things you can just put away right now today. Here's the things that you cannot, because it don't work the same for everybody.
Exactly.
I mean, you've got a brawling spouse. That's not something you can just throw to the side, is it? You got a family member that hates God and gives you a hard time because of the truth of the gospel of free grace. You can't just say, all right, I'm just rid of this. That's it. From today on out, it's all over with. It don't work that way. Nah. And if you've been married, you had somebody sign a document, and you've got to go through certain proceedings if you want to get rid of certain things, if you know what I mean. No false doctrine. False doctrine, again, I say it. False doctrine says this: I know better than God.
That's it.
That's what it says. But false doctrine is rarely ever so stated.
Yeah.
False doctrine doesn't come right out and say, I know better than God.
No.
Satan and his ministers, those who preach and those who hold to false doctrine, are not so blunt in saying it. False doctrine claims to speak either for God or about God as light from God. That's what even Satan did with Eve.
Yeah.
He's saying, I know something about God and from God that you don't know, and God didn't let you know about it either.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's saying. God didn't let you know about it. I have some light for you.
Mm-hmm.
And all he had was death.
Exactly.
So all he had was death. No, even in our passage, we see that it is no marvel. But see what? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. And here's the kicker. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They don't deny the Bible. They don't deny apostleship. They don't deny Christ. Okay, these are deceitful workers. And Paul says, don't marvel at this. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So these people, these false apostles, these ministers of Satan, they're not out teaching people to go out and get drunk, become a dope head, and to fornicate, are they? They're teaching them to avoid those things. Repent! I bet you thousands of them preaching this morning, repent. And they're saying if you turn from your sin, God will save you. That may not necessarily be so.
That's right. No, it isn't.
It may not necessarily be so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, some people have repented and it did them no good. Other people sought repentance and couldn't find it.
Amen.
You know, let me tell you, truth is not simple.
Yeah.
It's not simple. Truth speaks of the person and work of the triune God. That ain't simple.
No.
As a matter of fact, it is past finding out
mm-hmm.
in its entirety.
Yes, sir.
Now think about this. As I said, false doctrine claims to either speak for God or about God as light from God. But this false doctrine appeals to fallen man's pride because the truth of Scripture throws the rub on our pride. It exposes our pride. False doctrine doesn't. It appeals to man's pride. False doctrine appeals to man's inquisitiveness. There's got to be something more here than just this, the book. Right? I mean, I had an inmate once. He said, and he was of that persuasion as well too. They liked the deeper religions,
The
mysterious religions. Oh, they believed in the Bible, but you can't just take the Bible for the Bible.
Yeah.
There are other truth out there, and I figured there was no need for me even to argue with him about it. Let him go.
Yeah.
If he goes to hell, he goes to hell. You know, you cannot argue with someone. You cannot, no, not even argue. You don't want to argue. You cannot even present to someone the truth of God in Christ if they do not hold the Scriptures to be the authoritative word on the subject. Just don't waste your time. Somebody says, well, what you got to do is convince them that the Bible is true. That won't work either. They've already made up their mind. It's not. What's got to happen is God's got to convince them it's true. That's what has to happen.
Exactly.
Like these people. And there is a place to testify to the truth of God. Even as creation testifies to the existence of God, right? Creation does. But that doesn't mean we go out here to the world and try to prove to the world that God exists because of creation. Because they lie about creation.
That's right.
They say the book's not the authority. Our scientific findings are the authority.
Mm-hmm.
But then they turn around and admit it's a theory.
But
their theory has a more authority than the Word of God. Well, let them go. You know? You don't try to prove to people like that the Scripture is inerrant or inspired.
Yeah.
All these arguments doesn't matter. It's a waste of good breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know? God's only given you so many. Don't waste it on the reprobate
if you
can help it. And there's a place for that. We are not to cast our pearls before swine. Oh, I know. This is a false doctrine that I wasn't planning on going into, but it's here pertinent to the point. Most people say, "Well, you're to be a soul winner at all cost. You just, if somebody rejects, you just keep on telling. They reject, you keep on, right?
Yeah, okay.
You know what they teach?
Yes, sir.
No, Scripture tells us there's a time to just shut up.
Amen.
Scripture tells us there's some people that it would have been better for them not to have ever heard the truth.
Mm.
That's what it says, because they make a beginning stand for the truth, but they don't last.
Yeah.
They turned back to the filthiness of the flesh, and Peter said it'd been better for them not to have even known the way of truth than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So some folks have been better off. They've never even heard the gospel.
Yeah, that's true.
Because in hearing the gospel, all it did was add more judgment on top of their judgment.
Yes.
Now think about this. So it appeals to man's inquisitiveness. Man's always thinking. Now I'll explain this a little further here in a moment. False doctrine uses scripture for mouthwash rather than food.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There are even people who will tell you, I believe the Bible to be the authoritative word of God.
Yes, sir.
It's inspired, it's inerrant, and so forth and so on. All of the right fundamental phrases, Mason. All the orthodox phrases. And then they'll read a verse and they'll say, now what you've got to understand is this. And you read in between the lines. Right?
Rub them out.
But they don't even want to rub. You've got to know how to interpret this. You don't just read it as a message from one person to another person. You've got to have learning and knowledge and skill. Us regular believing dummies can't receive the word of God. We've got to be taught by some theologian. Someone's been to school. According to scripture, the only people that will be taught are those taught by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
That's it.
Amen.
And actually, when you read this book, unless it gives you a specific reason, unless it tells, I don't mean hints at it, because you might think it's a hint and it ain't. We ain't talk about hints. Unless this book tells you that something is a symbol or is a metaphor, gives you direct reason to believe so, then you take this book to mean exactly what it says.
Yes, sir.
Period. You don't go to some places and say, now we've got to symbolize or spiritualize this. Because you can symbolize and spiritualize away the truth of God in any passage when you do it that way.
Yes, sir.
You can make it say anything you blessed well want to.
Oh, yeah.
And that's false doctrine.
So
again, I said it appeals to man's pride. And it appeals to his inquisitiveness. It also appeals to his fallen sense of worth.
Oh, yeah.
Let me put it this way. Man was worth something.
Yeah.
He ain't now.
Exactly.
He ain't now. That's right. He was worth something, but he was created in the image of God.
Yes, sir.
That's right. He was. But, you know, people miss that just a few verses on down, it says Adam sinned against God.
Amen.
When at one time his nakedness was right and perfect.
Yes, sir.
It became a sense of what? Shame.
Yeah.
Did it not?
Yes, sir.
Why? Because of something God had done? No, because Adam rebelled against God.
Amen.
And you know, I'm going to say, you know who's responsible for my being lost? Adam is.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I didn't have to do a thing to be lost other than to be conceived in my mother's womb. I am lost in Adam.
Yes, sir.
I will be judged according to my works.
Yes.
But I am judged and condemned to be a sinner in Adam. I'm lost because of the fall of Adam, not because of something I do. People don't want to, even grace preachers don't want to come out and say that.
Yeah.
They don't want to come out and say that. So again, this false doctrine appeals to man's fallen sense of worth. Now think about it. False doctrine permits man to feel good when he's thinking wrong. That's what he likes.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to feel good. If it don't feel good, it can't be right, can it? Usually, when it feels good, it's wrong in God's sight. Usually. So again, false doctrine permits man to feel good when he thinks wrong, and it permits him to think wrong if it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all right. As I said, for false doctrine, scripture becomes mouthwash rather than food. False doctrine has scripture on its breath but lies in its belly.
Yeah.
It uses scripture to cover up its lies. They don't use scripture to say, here's what God's book says. Now, they may say those words, but that's not what they're going after.
Yeah.
A.W. Pink put it this way. almost all doctrinal error is really truth perverted.
Yeah.
Truth wrongly divided, truth disproportionately held and taught.
Yes.
Almost all false doctrine is. It has some truth.
Yeah.
But it's perverted. It's wrongly divided. It's disproportionately held to. For instance, now we'll talk about some specific false doctrines. For instance, false doctrine, when speaking of human nature, quotes Matthew 6:26 rather than Isaiah 40:15. Well, somebody says, does it matter which one you quote? Does it matter which one you hold to? It does if you're talking about a certain subject.
Yeah.
Now think about it. Again, I say, false doctrine, when speaking of human nature, quotes Matthew 6:26 rather than Isaiah 40, verse 15. Now, what does Matthew 6:26 say? Let's turn back there and read that. Now, let me say, Matthew 6:26 is true.
Yes, sir.
All right? It's true. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say also, Matthew 6:26 ain't talking about the state of human nature.
No.
Look at it. Matthew 6, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And here's the phrase. Here's how they define human nature. Are ye not much better than they? Huh? Another passage they use is the one that says that, you know, if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul. See how much value man is? No, it's talking about the soul. Not talking about man himself. Here it's not talking about human nature, it's talking about God's people.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about.
Yes, sir.
See, what religion, false doctrine does is it picks out a scripture that fits its own idea without any kind of consideration for the actual context. Mm-hmm. Now, Isaiah 40, so you don't just, it's not just, well, it's in the Bible, so that makes it right. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
What subject are they talking about? From whence are they coming? What did I say, Isaiah 40? Now listen to what it says. Behold the nations. Now that means, you could interpret that, the Gentiles.
Yeah.
That's everybody else except the Jews.
Yeah.
You can put it that way. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. In other words, the small dust of the balance, you don't even bother with it. You don't even take time to wipe it off of the balance pad. You don't mess with it. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Now someone says, well, but see, that's simply talking about the Gentiles. Of course, we know them Gentiles were a bunch of idolaters. Right? They didn't have the law. They weren't good righteous people, Mason.
Yeah.
Well, listen to what God said about the Jews.
Yes, sir.
Right? Isaiah, same prophet. Isaiah chapter 1. And it says I'll begin in verse 2. Oh, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Ain't a very good picture, is it,
exactly,
about the Jewish nation? Now, what religion comes along and says, well, but these were God speaking about the Gentiles, or this is God speaking about the Jews in a specific down period in time.
Yes.
a specific low period in the time of the Gentiles or a specific low period in the nation of Israel. No, we fail as low as we could go judicially when Adam sinned in that garden.
Yes,
we
right.
fail all the way away from God.
Yeah.
Yeah. We died spiritually in Him.
Amen.
You can't get any worse than that. We were born sinners, born corrupt, speaking lies as soon as we were born.
Yeah.
I don't care what my granddaddy says. That's what God says. He says, you know, He didn't say, you know, that can't be true. He told me, He says, you know babies can't speak. God says they come forth speaking lies as soon as they be born. God knows better than me.
Amen.
Drop it. Let it go.
Yeah.
Quit trying to defend your false doctrine. Even David, the prophet and the psalmist, the king of Israel, said that his conception and birth was all in a fallen state.
Yes, sir.
There is nothing good in us to present us to God.
Exactly.
It just does not exist. The truth of Scripture is this. Romans 3 sums it up. Time's almost gone, but let's read that. I know this is familiar, but see, religion, false doctrine, picks out these certain passages.
Yeah.
And they do not take the preponderant testimony of Scripture to prove anything.
No.
They do not look at a passage that is actually teaching the doctrine they're claiming to teach. They build a doctrine from their own opinion, then find Bible verses to back it up.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Here's what Paul says. Verse 9 of Romans 3. What then? Is the Jew better than the Gentile? That's what he means when he says, are we better than they? You look at the context. That's what he's talking about, isn't he, Mason? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. This is not some specific low point in our time. This is what we are by nature. Ever since Adam fell, that's where we've been, right here.
Yes, sir.
Right here.
Yeah.
Look, as it is written, and Paul himself, he's writing Scripture, but he's still not writing based on his own opinion. He uses Scripture to show the truth, does he not? The Old Testament Scripture. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
Now see, false religion says, ah, but the Old Testament's full of talking about the righteous man. He ain't righteous in himself.
That's right.
If they even read the Old Testament like they claim to, no, it's more than that. If they bowed to the truth of God,
yes,
you would find out that even the Old Testament speaks of righteousness in this manner. The Lord, our righteousness.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
That's the only way any man can be called a righteous man is in the Lord.
Amen.
With the Lord as his righteousness. Because by nature, when we're talking about human nature. Now, if we compare one man to another man, you might find one better than another. One you might call right and the other wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You might call one a righteous man and the other one an unrighteous man.
Oh, yeah.
But God is not judging me or you based on someone else.
Exactly.
He judges us based upon what He demands.
Amen.
And God says, because this was actually God speaking. Paul's quoting it. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
Now look at it. There is none that understandeth.
Amen.
That's human nature right there.
Yes, sir.
All you got to do is just present it to them simple. They can't understand it. No matter how simple you say it, they can't understand.
That's it.
There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now, I don't care what religion says. God says, this is the way I see you. That's the way you are.
Yes, sir.
You don't seek after me. Somebody said, well, I know I did. Well, you sought after the wrong blessed God. I'll tell you that. Because God said, there's none that seeketh after me.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
There's none that seeketh after God. They are all. That, this includes me and you by nature. They are, right now, today, my human nature is still this way.
Yeah.
They are all gone out of the way. They are together.
Yeah.
And here it says, they are together become what? Unprofitable. Yeah. Now think about that. Not only am I bad by myself, but if you joined all of us up together, there still ain't nothing there.
That's it.
The small dust of the balance.
Exactly.
Right? They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good.
Yeah.
No, not one. Somebody said, well, I know this is good. God says it ain't.
Yeah.
Not in his sight. It may be in my sight, your sight, somebody else's sight. I think as Henry Mahan once said, you know, the Shriners Crippled Children's Hospital is one of the finest things in the world.
Yeah.
But supporting that, being a part of it, doing that will gain you no favor before God. God doesn't see it as good.
Amen.
There is none that doeth good. No, not one. It even gets worse. God's not done with us yet.
That's right.
My throat is like an open grave.
It's what it said.
Right? Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. James adds, puts it this way, our tongues are set on fire of hell.
Uh-huh.
You know what he says?
Yeah.
You know? Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, folks, that's me by nature.
Yes, sir.
That's the way you are by nature.
This
is the way God views us by nature. He doesn't view us in human nature according to Matthew 6, 26.
No.
No. This is how God sees us. And he said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God.
Yeah.
And as Earl said years ago when we were still at Mabscott, Earl said, if you want to summarize this verse, God says, just shut up.
Yes, sir.
Here's what you are. This is the way I see you.
Yes, sir.
That's the way you are. Just shut up. Quit defending yourself. Quit trying to justify yourself. Quit trying to pick out verses to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
Here's what we are by nature.
Amen.
If anybody, including me, teaches you anything contrary to that about human nature, it's a false doctrine.
Amen.
Okay?
That's right.
It's a false doctrine. I don't have time to go any further. The second one, I want you to think about this. Now, these are no new things to us here, I understand. But because we are such faulty creatures and forgetful creatures, we got to be reminded over and over again. And because we're not constantly here, constantly surrounded by the Word and fellowship and the gospel, most of us are surrounded by what? A bunch of apostate, you know, Hittites. You know? We're surrounded by the Amalekites, whose every breath is against the truth of God. But you think about this. False doctrine, when speaking of acceptance before God, quotes Hebrews 5:10 rather than Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. It's what they'll do. Now, you go home and read that. Now, with some, it's amazing. With some, they don't even want Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6.
Yeah.
For them, they see Paul, and they're more honest than others.
Yeah.
Because they view Paul's opinion as some archaic thing that he got from some false religion. And they actually say it this way.
Oh, yeah.
They do not believe in election and predestination. But then some are a little more subtle with it. Several of us here were acquainted with one. He was a pastor. They called him a pastor. He should have been put out to pastor, but nevertheless, he said, I believe in Bible predestination.
Oh, yeah.
And I still remember thinking this, and I never said it, because, you know, I thought, you know, this is the pastor. Even then, Earl, I wasn't going to argue with this man or just blurt out what I thought. You know, the Bible don't need to be predestinated. Bible predestination? I mean, predestination is predestination is predestination.
Pretty
It means before you actually get to where you're going, somebody determined you was going to be there.
Pretty much it.
You know, predestination.
Yeah.
It is not hard to understand. It's impossible to bow to, though, apart from the grace of God. That's the thing. The problem, but even though it's not impossible to understand, still yet, what does the book say about us? We don't understand. So if Mason, I do seek that, if I do begin to understand that, if I do begin to love it, then what's happened? It evidently ain't human nature, is it?
That's it.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Ain't that it? Father, I pray as we go our separate ways, we be mindful of one another. And may that be all connected together in Christ, and we be mindful of Him. I ask in His name. Amen.